Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
To Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm thanking God for another day because he is truly awesome and he is so worthy to be praised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to let you know, hallelujah, that Jesus is Lord today. Hallelujah. And no matter what is going on, we're going to do like Jessica Reedy said, and we're going to put it on the altar. Glory to God. I love that song because she says, just put it on. Put it on. Put it on the altar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what it is that we're going through, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. And I'm saying this because going through some things, not bad things, but you know, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord, and he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to do it the way he wants to do it. Hallelujah. So today, I just want to welcome you to the broadcast, and we're going to be talking about praying women. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know that there's a lot of women out here hurting on today? There's a lot of women going through things, glory to God, and they just need to hear some encouragement. But we all need to know that the bottom line is Jesus. The bottom line is going to the Father in prayer. The bottom line is going to the Father with a pure heart, going to him and asking him what we want to ask him, but asking him out of a pure heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is one of the things that I wanted to talk about. But before we go into that, let's go into prayer. Hallelujah. And thank God for another day. And ask him just to come in and take over this broadcast. If you're listening live, if you're listening in the chat room, if you're listening on Skype, man or woman, but we're talking to the women today. But if you're a man and you want to join us, that's fine as well. However, I would definitely like for you to come on in and join me today, and maybe you have an issue that you need us to pray with, pray for. If you want to call, you got a problem that you want to talk about, let's do this. But we want to talk about prayer this morning, because sometimes us as women, you know, we be praying some witchcraft prayers. That's what I call them, witchcraft prayers. And Evangelist Mac, if you're on in the chat room, if you want to call, you can come in and comment on that if you want to. Because what I call witchcraft prayers is when we praying for somebody and telling God to get that person and do this to that person and do this to that person. You know, tear them down, kill them, Lord, do this. You know, make their way bad and this, that, and the other. While you sitting around doing your mess and you still doing what you're doing and you haven't changed and you haven't confessed your sin to God, you haven't forgiven, but we're praying these witchcraft prayers, Lord, get him, because you know what he did to me. He deserved it. Get him, Lord. You know, those kind of prayers. So we want to talk about that on today. And I'm saying it and laughing about it because I've been on that side of the track myself, glory to God, and God had to deliver me from my foolishness. Yes, he did. Glory to God. But let's just start off with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for this another day. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father, I ask you to forgive us for our sins. I ask you to forgive us for our sins of omission and commission. I ask you to forgive us, Father God, for things that we thought, things that we said, and things that we did that we were not supposed to do, things that were not pleasing to you, God, things that we said and done that were grievous unto your spirit, Father God. We ask you to forgive us for grieving your spirit, God. We ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your forgiveness today, and we receive your forgiveness, Lord God. Father, today I lift this broadcast up to you, Lord God, and I ask your Holy Spirit, our helper, to come in and help me with this broadcast on today in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you will speak the things that are of God to me, hallelujah, and through me in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We bind the spirit of error in the name of Jesus, and we command the spirit of truth to come forth in this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray that no weapon formed against this ministry and Blog Talk Radio Power Brunch with Jesus in the Word, no weapon formed against it shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I pray that any woman listening today, Lord God, who is hurting, is going through, Lord, going through whatever, divorce, abuse, whatever you're going through, you're just going through things in your mind and you don't know how to deal with it. I pray that you hear something today, that you will be set free, that you will be delivered by the power of God today in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you in advance for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And Father, I also pray for those that are backslidden, those that are unbelievers, have not given their lives to you, Lord God, through faith in Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross. I pray for them today that the spirit of blindness that Satan has put on them will be removed from their eyes today, Lord God, that they will be able to see, Lord God, and they will be able to hear the glorious words, hallelujah, from the Bible today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for the new souls today. I thank you, I praise you, I bless you. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Glory to God. And I see we have Evangelist Mac on the phone. I believe this is her in area code 904. I'm going to put you on right now. Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Power Brunch with Jesus in the Word.
Good morning, Evangelist Scott. How are you?
Evangelist, I'm blessed. Thank you.
Amen. I've heard you, and I really wasn't going to call in because I have a little 9-year-old cousin from New York. And she wants me to call and talk to her mama, Evelyn. So I try to accommodate her, and she's out of school for a week. So with her being out of school for a week, the whole week I'm going to have to talk to her. But nonetheless, I heard what you said about the witchcraft prayers. And, yeah, there are many who do that, who pray to God that he would destroy somebody, tap their dreams, tear their family up. God kill them all over there.
Yeah.
That is just not God. It's funny, but it's true. And that is just not God, because he wished that none should perish, even your enemies. He don't want your enemies to perish.
Yeah.
And we must learn to love our enemies, so we have to pray prayers that God can hear, and not only hear, but that he can answer. And we don't want to pray amiss. And because someone has done something to you, you don't pray against them, you pray for them. There's a difference in me praying damnation on you and me praying the blessings of the Lord on you. Now, if you're praying
stuff,
that's the enemy, that's the devil's department. See, because what we want to do, Lord, they did this to me, but God, forgive them because they don't know what they've done. And, Lord, help them open their eyes to see you and to see that you're God of love. And this is not the way, you know. And these are the kind of prayers that we want to pray. We don't want to pray death and destruction on nobody. And like you, Evangelist Scott, I'm guilty. I used to do that kind of thing because I didn't know any better.
Right.
God, they hurt my feeling. They done took my rabbit foot. Destroy. Oh, my goodness.
Your rabbit foot, though?
Yeah, my rabbit foot. They done took it, and I need you to kill them for that, because this is my lucky rabbit foot. It's all kind of nonsense, you know. And this, too, stems from us not getting in the word for ourselves.
Yes.
I remember I was in Birmingham, Alabama, and I sat under Pastor Rogers. I've forgotten the name of the ministry now. But I used to think, Evangelist Scott, the Psalms was for witchcraft. And I thought the Psalms was for if your enemies do something to you, you run to the Psalms.
Oh, wow.
And you read whatever David read. See, I didn't know it was David at the time. I didn't even know who had written the Psalms and why the Psalms was written. I just knew they told me, and it wasn't my parents who told me this, but other people in the church had told me, you go to this, and you read on them enemies right here. And I can't remember this scripture. That might have been Psalms 90-something, or 91 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You call their name, and you read on this end. When you read this line, you call their name. Destroy them, God. Destroy Jennifer. I was like, you know, see, to myself, I thought it was a little disturbing. That was a little too much.
Uh-huh.
But Jennifer had did something to me, and I wanted her punished right away. And so I went to do all of this nonsense, you know, because that's what it is. It's nonsense.
Nonsense.
But when we go to God and we tell him, Lord, bless Jennifer today, and God, forgive her for what she has done to me. And Lord, the most of it all, help me to forgive Jennifer. God,
yes.
Help me to forgive her.
Yes.
If I don't forgive Jennifer, then God can't forgive me. And believe me, there are some things I've done wrong that I'm not looking at. I'm only looking at Jennifer wrong, and I haven't turned the flashlight on myself so I can see all of my black spots, you know.
Right, right.
I'm just holding the candle to Jennifer over there where I can see all her mess up.
Right.
But we got to remember, by the same token, we've done some things that was not pleasing unto the Lord as well.
And you know what? You are so right when you say that, because I remember a time in my life, especially when I was going through with this particular woman who was a pastor, who, you know, said she was a pastor. And I went through some traumatic experiences dealing with her many years ago. And I'll tell you what, I hated her for the things that happened. And I would go to God and I would pray to God. I was like, God, did you see what she did? Did you see what she said? God, go get her, Lord, because she need to, you know, I really was praying that she would die and, you know, something else bad would happen to her, whatever the case was, because I didn't know any better. I was praying because I was praying out of my hurt, you know, that God would just hurt her like she had hurt me, not knowing that, you know, that's not an honorable prayer. And I wasn't praying out of a pure heart. I was praying out of an unforgiving heart. I was praying out of a hurtful heart. I was praying out of a mean, vindictive spirit. And that's not the kind of prayer that God would answer. But I did not know that. And it was years later that I was taught how to really pray and how we have to pray out of a pure heart. That other stuff that we be praying, I don't know. It just goes up to the ceiling and kind of gets stuck there. But we really think that we're doing our enemies a favor by praying those kind of prayers for them. But God's not honoring that. God wants He wants us to pray out of a pure heart.
Yes, yes, because those prayers are missed, and they done missed God. Yeah, yeah, they have missed Him, because He's not going to destroy our people because of what you felt that they have done to you. You know,
yeah.
And He want to bless us. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And do you believe He came for the world now? He didn't just come for us that we believe, but even the world, if they would come to Him, you see, He come for them too, that they may have life one day and have it more abundantly. When they come
That's
to
right.
Him, He can bless them.
That's
so
right.
See, I'm learning some things too, Evangelist Scott. I'm learning this. God is not the boogeyman of the world. He don't
Uh-oh.
Hate the world. Now, He may hate the things that we do in the world, but He don't hate the people. The unbeliever, the atheist, God don't hate them. He loves them because He knew before He come, before He suffered, hung, bled, and died, He knew what they would do. He knew they would say, I don't believe in no God. Jesus is this and that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't real. Some people say Jesus was a prophet and He died. All kind of stuff. He knew that. But yet the love of the Father.
The love
and
of
obedience,
the Father.
Mm-hmm. Obedience of Him unto the Father caused Him to lay down His life. Nobody took it. He gave it.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what, exactly what we have to do. We have to give our lives for others. But, you know, honestly and truthfully, as women, we are so emotional. We are such emotional creatures. And the first thing we want to do, as soon as our feelings get hurt, you know, as soon as we get hurt emotionally, we want to lash out based on our feelings and not based on the fruit of the Spirit. We want to lash out based on what he or she did to us, and we want them to experience the same thing that they did to us, or worse. We want them to experience more pain that they have given to us because simply you did it to me. And the Lord is saying, you know, we got to come out of a spirit of pride and allow Him to minister to us so that we can pray aright. You know, pride will keep you from praying right. Pride will keep you from praying right, Evangelist Mac. Pride will keep you, have you saying, well, so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so did that to me, and what I'm going to pray for them for, what I'm going to forgive them for, they need to be coming and ask me to forgive them. Why I got to go to them? Because the Bible says if somebody have an ought against you, you go to them and make it right. And we're like, what? Go to them and make it right? No, they need to come to me. You know, and when we get so caught up in pride and get so caught up in our emotions, our heart towards God is not right at all when we try to approach Him in prayer.
So true, so true, so true, yes. And this is what we got to be. And you said it, you said it. We as women, all we'll get emotional right now over anything. Oh, that hurt my feelings so bad, just over any little thing. And see, we got to be strong in the Lord. Got to be strong. And we got to be able to take knocks, bumps, and bruises, because that enemy going to come, and he going to knock us around. But guess what? We sprang right back, and we stand firm on the word of God. Yeah, I got many wounds, many scars. Yeah, I have many scars now, but they heal.
Healed.
Hey, they're not open wounds now. They healed.
Healed.
But I have battle scars. Oh, yeah, because me and the devil, we have gone some rounds.
Gone some rounds.
Yeah, and I got the victory today because the battle was already won. I fought, but I fought with the word of God.
Amen.
And that word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut out of us, and then it'll cut down what the devil thinks he has put up.
That's right. And guess what?
Yeah, but we got to have a willing heart, a sincere heart. And those of us who don't know how to love, we want to pray and ask God for love and be willing to make the sacrifice to go through the trial to get it.
Yes.
Because I tell you, today, if I pray for more love, that trial to get it is coming.
It's coming.
I prayed for love, and the woman come here. Oh, my goodness. I mean, and just cut a pure, I don't know what it was. But what it was, that trial, you asked for it. Now I'm going to take you through the lesson so that you can learn how to love.
Mm-hmm.
Or get more love, or get more patience. See, two things, patience and love work together. You got to have patience in order to love. Because if you don't have that patience now, it'll make your tongue lash out at people.
What?
And if we're not careful, we'll reach out and touch them.
Yeah.
Okay? And
yes.
It won't be through the phone. We reach it out and touch it.
Go ahead with
and
that.
And it won't be holding hands. And the word said, lay hands on no man suddenly. We'll be laying sudden hands on people.
Yes, we will. Listen, I used to take the scripture, the scripture that says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they recover. And I used to use that scripture. I used to use that scripture just so I could hit people, because I would tell them, you know what, you acting real sick right now. I'm about to hit you so you can recover.
Okay.
And God had to check me. What are you doing? I didn't say that. Crazy in the word, talking about I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Just because
okay.
they was getting on my nerves, Evangelist.
Okay. So
Matt.
That's it, they were sick. And when you laid the pads and beat it out, oh, well, okay, then they would have recovered. Yeah. But I joke for myself. Because, see, I have said it myself, sister. And I have told my children, I said, okay, now you're going to make me lay hands on you suddenly. And I meant that thing now, you know. But the Lord know, and when he come in, he'll begin to talk to us.
Yes.
And he'll begin to share with us, no, you don't want to reach out and touch them.
Yes.
Because I've seen some things, even in the church. And you know, we have to keep that old man suppressed because he want to come up.
Yes.
I can even remember the times in church the old man told me, let me out just a minute, and I'll fix that right then. You'll never have to see that again.
We can't do that.
No, ma'am. We got to keep it holy and keep it spiritual.
Yes, yes. And
okay.
You know, even so many of us go through things for an extended period because we just won't pray. And some of us that pray, God will give us the answer. We just won't do it the way God says do it. We want to do it our way. So if I want to pray and ask God to fix the situation, or I ask God to help me to, you know, handle the situation the way he would handle it, he gives me the answer. And the answer is not really what I wanted him to say. I said it out my mouth that that's not really what I wanted you to say. I wanted you to agree with me, God. I wanted you to agree with me to handle it the way I want to handle it. But we go through extended periods of tribulations and, you know, just persecutions or whatever it is, because we just don't want to do it God's way. We don't want to pray and wait. And I think I heard it on your broadcast that says, you know, prayer is a two-way thing. We do all the talking, and we don't shut up long enough to let God talk. We don't shut up long enough to give him, let him give the answer, because we really want God to give us the answer that we want him to give us. You know, people say, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. So that's what we're saying, God. I'm asking you for this, but I really want you to say what I want you to say, because this is the way that I really want it worked out, instead of letting God do it the way he wants to do it, because he knows best.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm glad you said that, Evangelist Scott, because when I was coming up as a girl, that's the way I was with my dad. You do something to me, I run to my dad. Oh, they hurt me. They this and that. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. And he would say, well, what happened? And I would say, I did this and that, but I did it. And he said, no, you're wrong. You see, you did that, and that was wrong what you did, and that's why they come at you like this. And that what you done, it wasn't a mistake. It was intentional. You intended to do that. And then I would be like, but I thought you was my daddy, and I thought you'd be on my side. You taking their side. And he would be like, I'm not taking any side. I'm on right side, you see? I'm on what's right. I'm for what's right. And then I go to my mom and try to manipulate her with it. But this time I'd be done add something to it, to put yeast in it and blow it up. And especially if they hit me. You know, it was just a hit. No scratch, no bruise. I'll scratch myself and show it to my mom. Look what they did to me. And she would be like, oh, my goodness, Prince, Prince. And my dad would be like, hey, hey, don't follow that.
Okay.
That was no scratch before she come to you. And then she tell you what she did to cause that now. And I would be like, see, Mama, he on them people's side.
Uh-huh.
And then she'll say, I am too, because she was wrong. She would say, I'm on nobody's side, but you were wrong, and you tried to trick me. You didn't tell me the truth. Now you on punishment.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to go to my brother. Look what they did to me, and both of them put me on punishment, and they beat me up.
Uh-huh.
You see, but I'm never explaining when I first go how all of this started. I was the key that turned the knob and opened the door for it.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's the way we do God. I want you to be your angels. Go to God. Jesus, go to God. And then when we get the answer, but I thought you would be on my side. They did this to me. And he's looking like, I love them too. They're my children. And this whole thing started with you. Yeah.
With you.
Yeah, and we do. We try and treat God like we would treat our physical relatives. But we must remember he's a spirit. He's almighty God. He's holy.
Yes.
And we have to be careful. And then we want to go right before him. We don't want to go any old raggedy old kind of way before almighty God.
That's right. That's right.
And
that's one of the points we
want
to make. Tell, we got to go, God. Listen. We got to remember that God knows all and sees all anything. Anyway, he sees us. So we can try to fake the funk if we want to, but God knows the inside of our heart. He knows our hearts. The Bible says that the heart is sick and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? The heart is sick and desperately wicked. We got to examine our hearts every single day. And to be thinking that we can approach a holy God, think that we can just go to him any old kind of way. And a lot of things, Evangelist Mac, what I notice too is people go to God and they just tell God what to do. Now, God, you go on over there and you get him because of what he did. God, you go over there and you do this. The Bible says that we're supposed to go to the Father and ask him. He tell him to give him orders. He is not our servant to go give him orders and tell him what to do. But a lot of times I hear people saying, God, you go over there and you do that and you take care of him, especially us that have been in marriages that did not go the way that we thought that they were supposed to go and ended in divorce. And you know, you get bitterness built up in your heart and you be saying stuff like, God, you know what? He didn't treat me right. Now I want you to go get him. Go get him, God, right now. Go get him, God, right now in the name of Jesus. And sometimes I hear people praying like that and I just turn around and look at them like, who are you talking to? Go, God, God, you go and get him, like, with an attitude. I've done it too, God. Now I want you to go get. Look, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. We're supposed to pray for them. And how easy is it when you've been scorned and abused and maybe you've been raped and you've been beat up and you've been going through these things? How easy is that to pray for somebody that's done that to you? It's not easy. But when you begin to go to God and say, God, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I hate this person because they raped me. I hate this person because they did this. And I need you to clean my heart, God. I need you to help me in my heart because I can't even pray for that person right now. I need you to help me, Lord God, because I'm not even in the right place with you right now because of the way I feel. But God, here I am. I'm laying myself on the altar. I'm laying myself prostrate before you because I need you to help me, Lord God. I need you to help me because without you, I can't do nothing. And God, I want to make sure I stay in right relationship with you. So God, I'm asking you to clean my heart, God. I'm asking you to help me to forgive, Lord God. And then I had to constantly say, I forgive this person. I forgive them. I forgive them. Even though in my mind was saying, yeah, if I ever see him again, I'm going to kill him. I kept saying in my mind, I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him until that thing released out of me where I no longer felt like I wanted to kill this person, where I no longer felt like I wanted to hate this person. And yeah, thoughts came up. And every time those thoughts came up, Evangelist Mac, I had to say, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I forgive them because Jesus forgave me. And this is a practice that I had to actually do out my mouth. I had to say it. I had to make myself say it. And I had to finally get to the point where I forgave them.
Uh-huh. because we will, sister, I tell you. And see, I feel like this many days to myself and I have to pray. Don't people understand how busy you are? Don't people understand if you're online with them, you got to be online with 400 more people. Don't you do this? And the Lord will just simply say, well, calm down. Do the most important ones, the ones that, you know, just chatting and, you know, it's no emergency or nothing like that, or they're not requesting prayer. Just simply tell them you have others waiting for prayer, and they will understand. But, see, we want to get all biz on the inside and do it, and, oh, my goodness, uh-uh. But we got to go to him in with everything in prayer, and we got to love one another, and we got to love them enemies, and we got to pray the right prayer. That's why you hear people say, anybody who can get a prayer through.
Yes.
Anyone
yes.
who can get a prayer through, pray for me. Because yes. there's many praying, but they're not getting nothing through.
Not getting it through. Go ahead.
Because you're praying amiss, and the prayer is missing God. Your word
yes.
is missing him.
Yes.
He can't even hear that because we're not praying right. We haven't come to him right.
That's right.
We come to him with foolishness, and he's not a foolish God. Only a fool can understand foolishness, which would be the devil. So we
My
must
Lord.
Come to him right. We must pray right, the right prayers, and check ourselves, please. Let's check us. Because we'll give it to somebody in a New York second, and knowing we the cause of the whole thing.
Cause of the whole thing, and sitting back looking like you didn't do anything at all.
Whole thing. I know about that, and I told you what I did to my parents and my brother. And then many will uphold their children in their wrongdoing. And I've learned this, when my children were not with me, I could not give an account for them. But they'll say this, oh, I know my son. How easy for you to say that, but do you really know your son? Do you really know when you're not in his presence what takes place? That's why I couldn't get all hyped up about that Zimmerman thing, all of that. You don't know what children do when you're not present. And children have folly in their heart, foolishness.
The word
they'll do things not knowing what they're doing, and this will cause them destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my second oldest son, Pastor Holly. My oldest son had a confrontation with a young man. And I didn't know that Pastor Holly, during the time he was about 14, he wasn't in the house. He was around the corner. I didn't know that, which I didn't play that anyway. But they sent for him to come, and when he come fighting. And the way I saw him hitting this boy, I was like, oh, my goodness, who is that? That can't be my son. So it showed me again, you never know your children, and you never know what they do when you're not present.
When you're not present.
See, I was present, and I got to see what he do when I wasn't present. But all along, if I'd have been the kind of mother that uphold my children in their wrongdoings, I'd have said this, oh, no, my son don't fight like that. I know my boy. He don't fight like that in front of you. But when he's in the streets and somebody say something he don't like, and he steps to him in this way. Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, I used to do that when I was younger. You know, I'd act one way at home and be out in the street doing something different. But the report, it always came back what I did, even no matter how I tried to lie about it, I always got caught. I always got caught and, you know, and got in trouble for it. But on today's broadcast, I know several women who need to know the power of prayer. I know you are a praying woman, Evangelist Mac. I've heard you pray, and I just know that you pray anyway. Excuse me, but we as women need to know the power of prayer. Everybody needs to know the power of prayer. But as I stated before, women, we are so emotional. We let our emotions stand in the way of really praying to God for real breakthrough. I mean, God understands that we've been broken. He understands that we've been abused. He understands that, you know, we've gone through things that, you know, at the hand of a man, we've gone through things, maybe we heaped it upon ourselves by whatever it is that we've done. But when you're dealing with a broken woman, when you're dealing with somebody who's broken and has been beaten down over and over and over and over again, I want to let you know that if that's you, if you're in the chat room or on the phone line or in the archives or even on Skype, if that's you and you've been broken, don't you know that you can go to God in prayer? Don't you know that God is there listening? He's standing right there listening. He's listening. And the word of God tells us that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. If we pray according to his will, he hears us, and he will give us that thing that we've asked him for. But it has to be prayer according to his will, not God, you know, kill them because they did that in the third. The guy that raped me, when I tell you when he raped me, he did some things to me that I never know another person could do to another person. I didn't know a human being could do that to another human being. I felt like I had been beaten up and bitten by an animal. That's how bad he raped me. He destroyed my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I had placed myself in that predicament in order to be raped. I had no business being with him. It was not like he snatched me off the street and pulled me into an alleyway. Okay? I was with him. I had no business being there, and he raped me. And Evangelist, what I tell you, he bit my body. He had bite marks all over my body, painful bruises. I mean, broke the skin, all kind of things he did to me. And I was a bruised woman, beaten, battered down, ashamed. Went to the church and told somebody in the church. They told me, don't say nothing. Don't say, I mean, don't go to the police. Don't say nothing. It was that bad. And I'm telling you, mother, I went through some things behind that ordeal, and I didn't have anybody to teach me how to pray. I didn't have anybody to teach me, you know, to pray at first, ask God to forgive me for even being in that situation, because I was wrong. I was wrong, because I should have never been with him. Yeah. Okay, but I put myself in that situation, and I went through hell behind that, Evangelist Mac. I went through hell, but then I began to pray evil prayers for him. I began to say evil things. God, will you just kill him? God, you know he's a man of God. He's a pastor, and he's this, and he's that. God, will you get him? I need you to kill him. I need you to. I was praying all kind of foolishness, not even acknowledging my part of it. Mother, I didn't even acknowledge my part of it. I didn't go to God and say, God, well, yeah, I was with him in a hotel room. Yeah, I was with him this time. I didn't go to God and say none of that. All of it was he raped me and I want you to get him. He raped me and I want you to get him. Wasn't even being truthful with God who saw all of that. But I wanted God to get him. I was the one that needed to be got. I was the one that needed to be chastised. I was the one that needed to be rebuked because I put myself in that situation. I allowed myself to get raped. No, he should not have done what he did. He destroyed me. But I put myself in that situation. And when one day I had to wake up and say, God, forgive me because I did that. I put myself there. And then God began to heal me when I was able to say that. See, sometimes we're looking for God to heal us, and we're living a lie. We're looking for God to heal us, and we won't tell the truth. We won't tell the whole truth about the situation. We'll tell a little bit of it, but we always try to make ourselves look good instead of going to God, telling God what really happened, even though he already knows. See, God wants us to have a pure heart. He wants us to come to him out of a pure heart. Like you said earlier, we ask things and we ask them amiss. We're going to God with a half of a story. We're going to God with our part of the story. And I like to tell people there's three sides to every story. It's yours, his, and the truth.
All right.
See, we like to give the fluff part of the story. We like to give the part of the story that makes us look good. But if we want God to hear our prayers, we got to be truthful. We got to go to God in truth, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how naked we got to get before him. If we want to be healed, if we want to be delivered, we got to go to God in truth and allow God to heal us and stop this witchcraft stuff and this lying and self-deception, Evangelist, self-deception. I deceived myself for so many years saying, yeah, he raped me, not telling the whole part of the story for God to heal me. My prayers were going up to the ceiling and coming right back down, asking God to do this and asking God to do that. Well, my heart wasn't right. My heart wasn't right. I'm trying to pray over a mess. My heart was deceitful. It was desperately wicked. And here I am trying to smooth God. God wasn't smooth on none of those days. He wasn't fooled, nor was he smooth. He knew exactly what I was doing. And
yes.
then one day he had to get me, mother. One day he had to get me. And when I tell you, when he got me, I had to confess that thing. And that was the hardest thing I had to do, to say, yes, I was in that hotel room with that man. Yes, I was there with him. It turned to something else, but yes, I was there. I had no business being there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another thing, too. We must face up to what we've done. And because I used to say about my ex-husband, I used to say he was a raggedy no good man. He was this and he was that, and all the list just went on and on. Once I got saved, God rolled back that curtain, and it wasn't my ex-husband curtain he rolled back. It was my curtain he pulled open.
Yes.
And he began to show me, you did this, and that's, oh my goodness. I could have just passed out. And then I want to cry. But Lord, God said he wasn't forcing this, and he wasn't forcing that, and this and that. And he was just showing me everything about me. Because, you know, I thought I was such a perfect wife. And I was the victim. I'm the only victim in the relationship, and the light should be on my victimness.
Yes.
What has been done wrong to me?
Yes.
You know, because, see, we think it's a big sin, and we think it's a little sin.
Yes.
But in God's eyes, wrong is wrong.
Yes.
Sin is just sin. Whether we think if we did a big thing or a little thing, it's still sin. It's wrong.
Yes. Yes.
And so I may not have done what he done, but what I did was wrong. And so the Lord began to shine the light on me so I could see my own dirt.
Your own dirt.
And then I want to cry. And the Lord said, repent. And repent to him and go on.
Lord, have mercy.
As you did, as when I done that, I began to heal. And I began to get better. And I could go to the Lord in sincerity.
We like to play the blame game, don't we, Evangelist Matt?
Yes, we'll do it in a minute. And we don't want to face up to things. Another thing we don't want to do, we don't want to stay spiritual.
What?
We want to make excuses, and we want to keep everything, you know, in the limelight, like everything is good. And we can do no wrong, and we're just perfect women and men of God, and we don't stumble, we don't make no mistakes. But God wants us, as you said, to come to him with a pure heart. We got to come to him in sincerity. And we got to face the fact, keep an inventory going of us, and we'll be okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Look in the mirror. Look in the Bible mirror every day and make sure that we have ourselves in check. Let me tell you this. There was a point in time in my life where I was married before, and the husband that I had, I knew better. I knew I shouldn't have married him. He was on drugs. He was doing crack. And I knew not to marry this man, Evangelist Mack, but the man was saying all the right things, man. He was smooth, okay? He was working it out, okay? And it was so bad, though. I should have just left the man alone, and I didn't. But anyway, make a long story short, I had this book called The Power of a Praying Wife, okay? And when I picked up the book and read the intro, she says, now I know y'all think I'm going to start praying for y'all husband, but no, I'm going to pray for you. And this is what you got to do. You got to pray for yourself and ask God to forgive you and ask God to heal you and ask God to deliver you. You know, something on that line. I put the book down, Evangelist Mack, and I refused to read that book. I say, well, wait a minute. This book is supposed to be The Power of Praying Wife. I'm supposed to be praying for him, and it's supposed to, because he did this and he did this. I put the book down, Evangelist Mack, and would not read that book for 5 years. Did you hear what I said?
Okay.
I wouldn't read it on account of what she said in the beginning of that book, that we need, as women, we need to get ourselves right. We want to pray for our husbands and say, Lord, fix him. Lord, change him. Lord, make him do this. And Lord, make him. She said, we're not going there. It starts with you. I was like, I don't know who Stormy O'Mardian thinks she is, but she's not going to talk to me this way. I'm fussing with Stormy O'Morty and she don't know me from a can of paint.
Okay.
Then I'm like, who she thinks she talking to? She don't know my husband. She don't know what I had to go through. I refused to read this book. For 5 years, I wouldn't read that book. Now, who's crazy?
Okay.
I'm crazy.
And I've been there, too. Something comes and disturbs my little settlement. Oh, no, they can't be talking to me. Oh, they don't know who they talking to.
Oh, no.
All that kind of foolishness.
And I'm telling you.
And God rolled that thing back so you can see you.
Yes. So you can see you.
Yes. And like you said, see, many times we'll put ourselves in situations. I did it. I'm guilty of it. Yes. Put ourselves in situations. We see all the warning signs. Don't fool with this man. Don't go there. But, oh, no, we're going there because we can change him.
Exactly.
I'm going to be the best woman he ever had. He don't have no other way but to change. He don't have a choice. And the man's showing you who he really is.
Yes.
Hey, I'm a murderer. Hey, I hate women. Hey, I'm an abuser. I will beat your brain out just for looking to the right. Oh, but we can change all of that. And even women in the church. Yeah, women in the church, we good at it too.
We good at it.
I have been there and done that. Oh, I'm going to change him. I'm going to make him an upright man. Yeah, what you did is made low self-esteem for yourself, and you may have an eye that needs to be replaced because you don't have an eye. He knocked it out. I'm just telling the truth. And we get caught up, women in the church, in all of these kind of things. I counseled with a lady. The man told her, look, honey, I don't want to be married anymore. Now, if you just bent on this relationship, what you can do is remain my wife, remain faithful to me. I'll come by and have sex with, not lovemaking, have sex with you when you need me to or I want to. But the rest of the time, I'm out doing my la-di-da thing.
Mm-mm.
Now, instead of her accepting the fact, okay, you no longer want to be married, and this is not what I want. I don't want no part-time lover, so I'm going to let you go and go on. Pray and see what the Lord do. But see, what we don't want to do that, because what I believe we should do as women, I believe we should go to God and ask him for more of him and ask him to help us to walk upright before him more.
Yes.
And forget the husband. Forget that. Because in the midnight hour when I'm going through, he's snoring. I can't turn over there and say, hey, honey, I'm going through. He got to get up for work the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Although he may would do that. But you don't want him to go to work tired, so you're not going to disturb him. You got to go to God. So why not just cut out the middleman, go to God, and let God improve you in him.
Improve you in him.
And
improve you in him.
And we trying to change folk around here.
Yes.
Even our children. My oldest son, I saw him being a military man. It was in his walk. It was in the way he did things. Nobody in my household had been in no military, even my brothers. But this was just the makeup of this boy. He ended up in ROTC right away. He was on the A drill team and became the commander of the B drill team. I was like, look at that. And when he would put that uniform on and walk, it was just his natural walk, but you could just see discipline and all this in him. But my thing for my child, Evangelist Scott, I was going to change him into being a college man. He was going to wear the suit and tie to work every day. Well, guess what? God sent him to the military, gave him a degree, and afterwards he put him over a whole department with the suit and tie on at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. See, we think we can change something.
Yep.
We can't change nothing. Let God be God. Yeah.
Let God be God. And when we get to that conclusion in our heads, then I think we'll be able to pray better and be able to pray the will of God. A lot of this stuff that we're praying, and I said earlier, witchcraft prayers, a lot of things that we are praying is not the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the will of God. We have some women out here praying for their husbands. Now, God, when he created woman, he made us to be a helpmeet for our husbands. He made us to be a helpmeet, okay? But some of us are praying things for our husbands that God ain't tell us to pray for our husbands. Lord, make my husband a pastor. Make my husband a... Why you want your husband to be a pastor? What is your motive behind you wanting your husband to be a pastor? Why are you praying that? Did God tell you he called your husband to be a pastor? So why are you praying that? Why are you praying that? You know, sometimes we just do things just because we want to do it. If a husband is doing X, Y, Z in the house, you know, we want to pray if they're not doing it the way they're doing it. Lord, will you please make him stop doing this, Lord, because I'm just really sick. I'm telling you from experience, these are things that I used to pray. And I used to say all kind of stuff. And when I picked up that book, finally after 5 years, I picked up the book, The Power of a Praying Wife. And as I began to pray things secretly, I wouldn't pray out loud so my husband could hear me. Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you do this to my husband and none of... Yeah, I used to do that too. I pray out loud so he can hear me so I can make him mad and let him know, yeah, I'm praying for you. But that wasn't working either, okay?
Wow.
None of that stuff that I was doing was working. And I would pray loud and pray loud. Lord, you know he this and he da, 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 whatever. When I finally picked up, yes, and finally when I picked up the Power of a Praying Wife book and I got in check and God had to really deal with this foolishness that was in me, and began to pray behind closed doors. I began to pray in the closet. I began to pray, and God began to do some things and work some things out, and I have to open up my mouth. I didn't have to open up not to my husband, to my earthly husband, but I had to open it up to my spiritual father, my heavenly husband. I had to open up to him and pray to him and pray in secret. Because the Bible said what you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. And I know that is the truth because it has happened. We don't have to go out there and let everybody know that we're praying for them, because if, when you do that, that's pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you praying for me because you want to get kudos and you want everybody around to hear you and want everybody to think you such a great prayer, you already have your reward. Don't
expect
anything from God.
That's what he said this. Now, you know, the people with the long robes, you know, the big tonsils on, and some of them carry a stick and all kind of stuff I've seen. And they pray, and them deacons that we come in where Sabbath have no, every day going to be Sunday, and Sabbath have no end and all that old stuff. Look at here. We pray in a mist. And when people say, Deacon Brown, you show pray today, that's all you getting out of that deal.
That's it. Hands
you got your
up.
Reward right there. But as you said, when we go in our secret closet, nobody knows. It's Almighty God who will reward us openly.
That's
but
right.
But we must learn how, and we don't have to tell everybody everything we're doing.
Sure,
and that's
don't.
What I was saying this morning. There are some things I do. I can't tell everybody I'm doing these things. Because if I tell people I'm doing this, the news media want to be in on it. And this person want to be in on it. And your name in the paper, your name ringing in the earth. I don't need all of that. I just need obedience. Barbara Mack, be obedient unto Almighty God. And let God be God.
That's right.
Yeah, and it'll be all right. And I take self-inventory. That must often come up, because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction.
That's right. That's right.
I've learned this over the years. God hears every word we say.
Yes, he does.
He sleeps, not slumbers.
That's right.
Yeah, his eyes is in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good.
That's right. That's
right. And if we're going to be spiritual, we must serve a spiritual God. If we're going to serve him, we must do it in spirit and in truth.
Yes, yes.
I got to pray for real.
Yes, for real.
I can't come with no repetitious prayers, no foolishness.
Excuse me.
Now,
yes,
God, this is Barbara Mack. And, yeah, you made me overseer of Freedom Doors, and, God, you made me host a Blog Talk radio show. Jesus in the morning, and God, I For years I've been doing what you told me. You blessed me with 8 preachers. What kind of foolishness?
What?
Like, he don't know.
Okay.
When I come to him and I simply say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come this morning in humbleness. And Father, I don't know what to pray today.
Yes.
So, God, I'm asking that you would pray through me.
Yes.
And, Jesus, I ask that you would carry this petition coming out of my mouth to the Father. He can
yes.
honor that. Because that's his word. Jesus is the mediator. He get my prayer and take it to the Father.
Yes.
He take what I'm asking for, the petition, to Almighty God. And I believe because Jesus took it and it's not an amiss prayer, God can hear and answer.
God will hear and answer.
And it's from my heart. And like
yes.
you said, if I'm out here with all this, everybody can hear me, God, I need you to bless Evangelist Scott. And when you get through there, run by Minister Howells and bless Brother Drake. That's some foolishness.
My Lord. My
and then
Lord.
The people, my neighbors, they hear all the people I'm praying for. And when I walk out the door, I got my chest stuck out because y'all heard me praying.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, Whitman, I'll pray for you.
Yes.
And it won't be that kind of prayer. It won't be a blessing prayer. But I pray and ask God to kill you.
Yeah, see?
After people have come to me, Evangelist Scott, and told me, the pastor told them if they leave that particular church, they was going to physically die.
Oh, yes, I've heard that. Oh,
yeah,
yes,
but
Dennis
is a living witness.
Yes, I've heard that.
This woman and her whole family, even the daddy, he said, that's what they told me. I said, did y'all leave the church? He said, yes, ma'am, we had to. Our season was up. I said, and are you dead today or are we talking?
Mm-hmm.
See,
people
even that's a
it.
Witchcraft prayer.
Witchcraft
see,
prayer.
Even speak that foolishness on people.
That's right, witchcraft
because
prayer.
Because people don't belong to the pastor. People don't belong to that body where we praise and worship, that building where we praise and worship and fellowship. People don't belong to that. We all belong to God.
That's
and
right.
And everybody here to my members. There's no such thing as members of a church. God either added you or you went over there yourself. God adds to the church daily, such as should be.
Such as should be.
I need
be
your name
saved.
On the roll, and they be on here talking about, I'm a member of this church in good standing. You in good standing with the pastor in that building, but what kind of standings you have before God? Don't make me preach on your show, girl.
Honey, you know you was going to. I don't even know why you acting like that. Go ahead.
How in the world you going to be in good standing with man and a building more so than you in good standings with Almighty God who woke you up this morning? Clothe
Lord.
You in your right mind. You have the use and activities of your limb. He's keeping you breathing all day long. He sent his son, Jesus, to suffer for you. But you'll give a man in a building more and some protocol and some rules and regulations of man
of
more
man.
Than we'll give to Almighty God.
Yep.
And you wonder why your children cutting the food. You wonder why your wife's looking cross-eyed. You wonder why your wife's look at here. We got to get real with God and stop putting all this stuff on here.
Well, I know that's
come
right.
Come back at ISS. Just come clean. Because that's the only thing God going to honor, realness.
Yes.
And as the woman said this morning, we all dressed up.
Mm-mm-mm.
The outside and toe up on the inside.
Toe up.
God can't honor that. It starts on the inside and work its way on the outside.
Yes. Yes.
I was telling the lady, I said, I lose the weight and gain it back. I said, girl, I'm not looking right around here. And then it come to me. How you looking on the outside don't matter. What's on the inside? And I was at the mailbox, and baby, I just went on and gave him a praise dance right there by the mailbox.
Lord have mercy.
Because it ain't that outer appearance, huh? It's what's on the inside of me.
That's what
you
matters.
You can look at the weight if you want to, but if you need a prayer to go through, give me a call and let's see what happens.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got
yes.
to come out of this foolishness,
come
dressing
out.
Up and all of that. God know how you look every day, and on Sunday you got to give him some clothes.
My Lord.
They told me the way to represent God is about the way I dress. I told them, no, I'm going to represent God by the way I live.
By the way I live.
So
by
others can see and they'll come and do like they did on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren.
Yes.
What should we do to be saved?
My Lord.
Shall we do? Barbara Mac, I'm going through. What can I do? Am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? I need some help. Let's get together in sincere prayer.
My Lord.
When we pray for folks, we want to pray from our heart. I pray as if it's me. I pray as if I'm praying for myself when I pray for you.
Yes. Yes.
Now, God know I mean some business. All this old talk and foolishness out here ain't got nothing but a bunch of letters and alphabets dragging behind us. No works, no nothing.
My Jesus. Lord have mercy. We're going to do that on another broadcast. Lord have mercy. Glory to God, because that's the truth. And I've been saying that for a while, too. But Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. And I know we have two people on the line, area code 240, and we have an unknown on the line. If you would like to speak, will you please press 1 so I can get you on the line? Anybody in the chat room, if you'd like to call, the number is 1-323-693-3054 if you'd like to join in on this conversation. And please let me put out there, if you want to get on the line and speak, we're speaking about praying women. We were in particular, but we're talking about praying, going to God the right way, not going to God with witchcraft prayers, as I like to call them, but going to God out of a pure heart. And these are the things that we're talking to. If you're on the phone line, if you have a testimony or a praise report that you'd like to share, you may do so, but you must press the number 1 so that I can see that you are ready to speak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I like this topic because I was one of those crazy women I told you earlier that would just pray all kind of stuff. And listen, the relationship I told you that I got into, that marriage that I got into with the guy with the drugs. Now, how stupid can you be that you going to go to God and ask God to fix him and fix the marriage, but you didn't go to God and say, God, should I marry him? I knew he was on drugs. I didn't ask God, could I marry him? I just did it because he was saying things I needed to hear, and I was in a very bad spot in my life emotionally, and he was saying the right things and doing the right things. I didn't ask God, could I marry this man? I just went on ahead and did it. And then when I got in it, then I want to say, God, now I need you to help me. God, I need you to do this. What kind of foolishness is that? Anyway, I'm going to the phone line, area code 240. Welcome to Power Brunch with Jesus and the Word. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott.
Hello, Teresa. How are you? This is Minister Desiree. How are you doing today?
Hey, Minister Desiree. I'm fine. You know I don't have any sense, but Jesus is Lord.
I'm telling you, between you and Sister Mag, I don't know who's worse. I'm telling you, you both are telling some stories. I mean, man, you can both preach it. I mean, it's excellent topic for today because we do as women and men too throw up some wrong prayers, you know.
Yeah.
And God always start with us, you know. Even when we're praying about, you mentioned how we pray for our husbands. You know, we shouldn't, when we're praying for our husbands, we need to pray. We know what our husbands stand in need of. And those are the type of prayers that we need to be praying about our spouses. What do they need? They need strength to do their job. Give them courage. Give them mercy. Give them grace. You know, they're the things that they need to get their job done. If they're not reading their word, then we pray for God to help them that they will get back into their word, you know, so we can help be together, you know. Just like the wife, there are things that she goes throughout the course of the day. Well, give my wife protection. Make provision for her. Set angels around her and watch her so that she's not being tempted by some other man that's out here. You know, they are the things that we need to be praying for our spouses.
Oh, I like that.
Prayer, we don't like to pray because prayer requires something known as time, and we don't want to give time. We
always
want to receive from God, but we don't want to give our time in the prayer
because
we don't know how to talk to God. And so that's why you don't have a lot of people that do prayer because they don't know how to talk to God. But if you just be real with God and just say, Lord, I'm going through something right now, and I don't know what to do, but I need you to tell me what to do. The Bible tells us in James that when we pray and we don't know what to pray for, we need to ask for wisdom.
Yes.
And when
yes.
we ask for wisdom, God will give you that wisdom that you
yes.
need for your situation. But
yes.
we don't do that. A situation to come up, and the first thing we do is like, oh, my God, I better figure out a way how to handle this. But then
yes.
when we go try it on our own, we mess up, and now we got two problems. Now we got to go to God and ask God to fix both of them.
Yes.
But we would have went to him first and waited on him, but we don't want to go to him first and ask for wisdom. We'll pray to him. We'll ask him this, get the freight with a wrong motive. Then we don't want to wait on God to hear what his wisdom is for us. Maybe God answers to you is to stand still. Maybe God answers to you, I want you to go through that right now. But he's going to be there with you. Maybe this is not the right thing for you to do. But we don't want to ask for wisdom because we're so afraid that God is not going to give us the answer that we want. So
and
we
that's the truth. That's the truth, Minister Desiree. Because I would not ask God. I would not ask God, can I marry this guy? Because I knew he was going to say no. I knew he was going to say no, Minister Desiree. But because of where I was emotionally, when I tell you I was beat down, broke down to the ground, that's where I was. And anything that came past me and told me that they loved me or thought I was cute or they liked me or something like that, anything that walked past me that said that, you automatically got me because I was so beat down emotionally. That just worked for me at the time. But I knew that if I went to God and said, God, can I marry this guy? He was going to say no. So I just ignored God. I wouldn't even talk to God about it. Went ahead and ignored every sign that God possibly could show me. Every sign that he could show me, ignored it. And then got in the marriage and said, God, I need you to change him. God, I need you to fix this. God, I need you to do that. Well, had I listened to God, I wouldn't even been in the situation to have to ask, to even have to go to God and say, well, now I need you to do this and I need you to do that. You know what I'm saying? We do some stupid stuff. We do we do some stupid stuff. We could have about five different broadcasts with this because just off of my life, just based on the stupid things that I did. But I want to say this. My husband is not on the phone or in the chat room, but he is in the house so he can hear me. Until recently, I would get on my husband because, you know, I was diagnosed with lupus. So I suffer in my body a lot of times. I have a lot of physical problems, but I still believe God for my healing. But in the process of me waiting for my healing, some things do manifest in my body. And I'd be like, babe, why don't you pray for me? Like, you see I'm going through this right now. Why aren't you praying for me? And he said to me, Teresa, I pray for you all the time. And I said, well, I never hear you pray for me. I need to hear you praying out loud. You know, just crazy. I need to hear you praying out loud. I need to know you praying for me. He was like, why? If I'm praying to God and God's going to answer the prayer, why do you need to hear me praying for you? This was just something that I was going through because I felt like, listen, I feel like I'm all alone and I'm by myself. I need you to pray for me. I need to hear you praying for me.
Right.
But he still carries on the way that he does. He prays for me. He prays for me in his closet, in his prayer closet. And whatever he's praying is working, is helping me because I've been doing a lot better.
I think what it is, Teresa, with women, we are, since we are so emotional and we feel that if we hear our spouses praying, then we make that connection.
Yeah.
You know, my husband, when I'm like right now, I'm going through menopause and my emotions are just like, they're out the door. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, I'd be glad when this thing is over with, you know. But what I have to do, when I have those moments where my emotions are, where I can just go any which direction, I ask my husband to pray. I will cry for reasons I don't even know what I'm crying about.
Right.
And I was like, well, this is going wrong. And he's like, baby, you know you're going through the change of life. And
yeah,
I was like, I know.
That,
I said, so I need you to pray for me right now. And he will stop. He'll stop and he'll pray. And then the Lord was like, you know what, Desi? You need to pray for yourself about these emotions.
Yeah.
So one day I just got in front of the Lord and I told him, I said, Lord, you created me from top to bottom. You know me inside and out. I don't know why women got to go through menopause. I don't know what the reason is. But I need you to help me in this area because my emotions are out of whack.
Yes.
They are causing me to cry when I don't need to cry. They're causing me to do things I don't need to do at this particular time.
Right.
You created me. Only you can handle these emotions. So do something with them and help me. But in the meantime, give me the strength to withstand them when they come my way. And
yes.
I'm telling you, ever since I've been praying for my emotions going through this menopause, it's starting to help. I can see it working. I can see where there'll be a moment where I feel like I want to cry, and then I'm like, no, I don't need to cry over that. I don't have to cry over everything. You know? But that's how we are. We have to have that connection. But we just need to pray all the time. And prayer does work. People don't like to pray, but prayer is power in prayer. It does work.
I am so glad that
it
you got on the
through.
Phone
if
line.
If you were praying God's will, it will open up the door.
Yes.
You will see things happen that you never even dreamed about happening.
Yes.
You will see people coming up to you, and they be telling you all kind of stuff, and you be like, oh, my God. Because, see, what we don't realize is when we're praying, not only in our natural language, but I'm talking about also in your spiritual language.
Yes, yes,
your heavenly
yes,
language.
Yes, yes.
That's the one that you that does that's the one that gives you the power.
Yes,
because
hallelujah.
There come a time you don't know everything you're going through. You're like, I still can't get a breakthrough.
Yes,
why do
yes.
I still have this feeling? What do I got to do? You know what? That's when you got to just open up your lips and let the Holy Ghost pray you
yes,
through it.
Yes, hallelujah.
And when you let that Holy Ghost pray you through it, you get up out of that closet, and I'm telling you, you're like a brand new person. It's
yes.
like you've been reborn. That feeling is gone. And what we don't realize is that sometimes when we're praying in our Holy Spirit is that we're praying for other people, probably in other countries that
yes.
we're not even aware of.
Yes. Yes.
But
yes.
we don't do it. Because
yes.
one for one, we don't. Some people just don't even believe in speaking in tongues.
Right.
You know, some people just don't even believe in that. But I'm a firm believer. I don't know what to pray for all the time. You know, sometimes I can pray my natural language, and when I get up, I'm like, Lord, I haven't even busted through heaven yet. What is wrong? And then the Lord would say, pray in your spirit. Because, see, when you pray in your spirit,
yes.
you ain't praying no foolishness.
Yes.
You're not praying anything with no wrong motives.
That's
you're not
right.
praying for your own desires. You are in the perfect will of God when you pray in the
hallelujah.
Spirit. Because that's the spirit of God praying to the God through the Son. So
yes.
you are going to pray the right way. And that's how you got to do it. Then when I get up off my knees, then it's like, wow, talk about a long list at all. You know?
Yes.
You're so much better. You're so much better.
Yes. You know what? I'm so super excited that you called in and got on this phone line. Minister Desiree, let me tell you something. You spoke a word in due season. A word in due season. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We need, you know, a scripture that comes to mind when God sent the angel to talk to Sarah and Abraham, and God said that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a baby, and Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. She didn't go pray now. She laughed at what God said to her. And a lot of times we do the same thing. We laugh at God, or we just totally ignore God. Because we hear God. We hear God more than we want to act like we hear God. But we do hear God. We just ignore him, or we laugh at what he says because it doesn't fit, you know, what we're looking at in our natural mind. So we kind of ignore that. We say, oh, well, something said and something said. No, that was God talking to you, but you just ignored him and you pushed him to the
mm-hmm.
side. And that very thing that he was trying to tell you that you ignored could have been the very thing that got you through that situation, but you chose to ignore him. Now you're going through hell. Now you're going through torment. Now you're going through all of this craziness in your mind. But God was trying to help you. And you was like, oh, no, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Love your enemy. What? No, I'm not going over there to apologize to them. Go apologize
uh-huh.
to them. No, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to apologize to them. They know what they did to me. No, tell the truth about what you did. That is not God telling me to tell the truth about what I did, because they know what they did. And, you know, all of these foolish things that we put up in our minds, Minister Desiree, instead of allowing God, the creator, to come in and help us. We want to do things our way, then we mess it up, and then we want God to fix it. Who? What kind of foolishness is that? We do things our way, then we want God to fix it. We want him to come in and fix it. Let me tell you something. I thank God for my man of God that I have right now. But I'll tell you, I put that man through some hell because of the baggage I carried through my last relationships. Before I got healed from those relationships, I entered into this relationship. And I put this man through hell because I wouldn't pray. Do you hear what I'm saying? I put him through hell because I wouldn't be a praying wife. I was a wife that was a scornful wife. I was a wife that would say things to tear him down because I was hurt. I was that kind of wife. I wasn't a praying wife. I wasn't a crown to my husband's head. I did things that if he went outside in the street, instead of him being proud to be my husband, he was more ashamed of being my husband because of the things that I did. And my reputation followed me. But I thank God that he's changing me and he's turning me into a praying woman.
Yeah.
And my husband knows now that when I pray, he knows when I pray, when I'm reaching heaven, he knows, because he will come to me and say, listen, that prayer, and I'm not praying for him to hear what's going on, but when the power of God takes over, he knows the difference. knows the difference in a witchcraft prayer. He knows the difference when I'm trying to pray to hurt him. He knows it, and I don't try to pray to hurt him anymore. I was doing it in my life, and I can say that because I want other women to be healed. Don't pray against your husband. Pray and ask God for his will for your husband's life. Don't pray and ask God to hurt your husband. Don't pray and ask God to take your husband away. Don't pray and ask God to even separate you and divorce you. Ask God first to help you. Ask God to first clean your heart, praying woman, so that your prayers can go through, so that your prayers go through. You worrying about your husband, even if you're married to a pastor, a bishop, an elder, apostle, whatever you married to, pray for your husband out of a pure heart. Some women out here are jealous of their husbands because of their position in the church, and they're praying stupid stuff against their husbands. But today, God wants you to straighten up and pray right for your husband. He wants you not to pray amiss, as Evangelist Max said earlier. Don't think that you're going to get anything from God if you're asking God for prayers like that, because he's not going to answer you. And if you're not careful, the same thing you're praying that you want God to do to your husband might fall on you. So we got to be careful about what we're praying and stop praying out of our emotions. Desiree, I'm glad what you said. Pray in the spirit, because if we pray in the spirit, we know we're going to pray the express will of God. We know that it's going to be God's will, and he's not going to deny that prayer because it's him praying through us. But we want to be intellectual. We want to pray these prayers and got these $5 words in them and want to be hemming and hawing. Oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, my Lord. No, we ain't got to go through all of those theatrics. All we got to do is go through all. Serious, Minister Desiree. It's the
I know you are, but you know what? We get that from other people. We spend so much time watching other people and mimicking them that by the time we go to pray, we end up praying just like them, making all the. It don't take all that. Take all that to get a prayer to heaven. It doesn't take all that. You know, when I'm in the room and I'll be praying for my husband, and when I'm done, he'll come in there and he'll say, "Baby, how many people did you have in the room with you?" Because, see, there's a difference when it's just me praying. I'm loud to begin with, but when it's just me praying, it's not that loud. But when the Lord got a hold of me and I'm praying in the spirit, it can get kind of loud. I can get the dance going on and all of that. And I'm like, it's God that's in that. You have to pray. We as women and men must constantly not pray just for our spouses, but we need to pray every day for our families, our children, because we never know how they are tempted. I mean, we look at the – let's go back to when we had the school shooting back here in Columbine in Virginia Tech. Everybody talked about the young man that went in and killed these kids, and it was a terrible thing that happened. But, see, what they don't realize is what that child might have been through that caused him to do that. People just don't wake up and say, I'm going to kill somebody. I don't believe that. I know the enemy does a lot of things, but something caused this young man to do that. We don't know what he's been through. All those years, how much bullying he went through, how much teasing, how his parents might have treated him at home. This is why I talked today about on the show mercy. We got to show people mercy. And not only as we show them mercy, we got to be praying every day for our children, for their safety, because we don't know what the mindset of people are these days. You know, wives that go around and they act like, oh, well, my husband's this and my husband that, my wife is this and she's that. But give your wife any situation at any given opportunity, you don't know what your spouse will do. Don't never put them so high up that you think they may not fail. This is why you got to constantly pray, because if you're not doing your duties as a wife and he's not doing his duties as a husband, he'll go to work and that young thing that sits there and answers those phones every day will come and say, oh, I like the smell of your car. I went today.
What? I know that's all right. You better tell him.
He's like, oh, she noticed that. Now wait a minute. You're a married man, and you like what she says. You like that cologne. Next thing you know, she'd be telling you she like your tie. She's buying your lush. She's buying. Yes. She's bringing this. She's wearing her skirts a little hot. And before you know it, now you just looked at all this because, see, Satan loves to get us in our mind.
Oh,
if he can place a thought in our mind, it's only a matter of moment before it enters our heart, before we act on that sin.
That's right. That's right.
So this
that's
is why we
got to
constantly, constantly pray for our spouses. And if we're not praying for our spouses, then we're sending them out unprotected. And anything that comes their way is going to come their way. And who's to blame? Because it is our responsibility to pray, not just for our spouses, but to pray for everybody.
Yes.
We need to pray for our family. We need to be praying people. I don't know why we've gotten far away from that. And I guess maybe we can't blame it on the church and say, well, the church says that we ought to pray. But the way the world is today, we don't have no other choice but to pray. I mean,
we better
pray. 7:14 is for the church. It's not for the sinner. It's talking to God's people. You need to pray. We want things to happen. We need to pray.
Yes, and my whole thing is that what keeps coming into my spirit is that not only do we need to pray, but we better be praying with the right motives. We better be praying with the right motives, not this witchcraft prayer thing. Excuse me. It bothers me so bad because I did it. I did it. And people just be praying. I went to somebody one time about a situation I was going through. You know what they said? They said, I'm going to pray and ask God to kill her. I said, what?
Ooh.
They said, I'm going to pray and ask God to kill her. I said, I don't want you to pray to ask God to kill her. That's not what I came to you for. I do not want you to ask God to kill him. No, don't do that. I never went back to that person again to ask them to pray for me, ever, because people take their...
That sounds like a witch to me.
That, and this was a prophetess. Okay, I'm doing air quotes. This was a prophetess, and she said, I will go to God and tell God to kill her. I said, no, why would you do that? Because then she said, because then she won't be in your life no more. You won't have to worry about it. Well, how is that helping me? If I'm coming to you and asking you to pray for somebody, you say you're going to ask God to kill them. No, they need to come to repentance. That's what they need to do. They don't need to die and die in their sin.
No, they don't.
They need to come to repentance. You know, and just like my nephew that just got killed a few weeks ago, you know, people pray and they say things that people want to, you know, get revenge, you know, the guy that killed them, this and the third. I said, this is not what you do. You don't go and try to get revenge because he killed him. What you do is you pray for his soul. You pray that God save him. This is what you do. Even with that guy with Trayvon, you pray for that guy that killed him. You pray for his soul because he was led by the devil. He was being used by Satan himself. But you pray for his soul because the Bible says it's not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And you pray for his soul that God will forgive him for that murder and that he will come to repentance and he will confess his sin and go through the necessary processes that he has to go through. This is what I pray for him. I don't get on the bandwagon to do all that other stuff. I pray for this man's soul because, yes, he murdered that boy, but he has a soul and he needs to be saved. And we begin to look at people the way God sees them and look at them as a soul that needs to come out and be saved. And this is for men and women. This is for men and women that we will begin to pray for them like that. God will begin to bring people out. But we got people so busy praying for big ministries. We got people praying for cars and houses. We got people praying, Lord, I want to be on TV and I want to be big and I want to be this and I want to be that. And God is saying, no, I need you to pray for souls because daily souls are going to hell. Daily husbands and wives are breaking up because husbands and wives are not praying. People are not teaching women how to pray for their husbands. When God said he called us to be a helpmeet, he called us to be a helpmeet so that our husbands can meet whatever it is that they're going through. And that means that we're supposed to stand with them and stand for them and not stand against them. Pray for them out of a pure heart. Pray for them and ask God that whatever that is that my husband is going through, God, I pray for my husband today. I pray that you will lead him and guide him and direct him, Lord God. I pray that you will order his steps, Father, in the name of Jesus, that he will do what you want him to do and not what he wants to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the anointing that destroys every yoke to be upon him, that when he does go out, that people will just feel the anointing and presence of God and say, what must I do to be saved? These are the kind of prayers that we need to be praying for our husbands. Not, Lord, that if he go and mess with another woman, that his thing blow up. You know, those kind of things that I used to pray. I ain't lying, Desiree. I used to pray those kind of things. Lord, if he stick his thing in another woman, I hope it blow up while he's in her.
Oh, my God.
Those are the kind of prayers I would pray. I'm talking about as a Christian woman. Not, God, I rebuke this spirit of lust. Not, God, I rebuke this spirit of adultery and fornication. Not those. I wasn't praying those kind of prayers. I was praying all kind of stuff. Lord, may let her get
selfish prayers.
Yeah, selfish, crazy prayers. And God wants us to come to him today out of a pure heart. And he really, really, really wants us to be able to pray for everybody out of a pure heart. But I'm stuck on what you said. We need to pray in the spirit. Because I tell you what, these mouths are ours. And I was on Facebook last night and I reposted something that somebody had that said, the tongue weighs a whole lot, but we sure can't control it. It don't weigh a whole lot, but we can't control it. It's a little thing, but it causes a whole bunch of trouble. It causes a bunch of trouble. And even in the spirit, instead of us praying the right, instead of us seeking God, Lord, what do you want me? I need to pray your word. I don't even know what to pray. I tell my friends sometimes, I say, I don't know what to pray. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. Now I got to go and pray in the spirit. And I tell you what, Minister Desiree, you get so much stuff done in the spirit when you're praying in the spirit rather than praying your own English and praying out of your own natural mind and praying what you want to pray. God might not want me to pray for that, but he might want me to pray for something else. That's why we got to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. And as women, we are so emotional. We are so emotional. Sometimes I want to take myself and smack myself upside the head. Desiree,
we're our worst enemy.
I'm telling you, I want to smack myself so bad. I be like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me. But I need you to help me right now. I can't even pray for my husband right now, Lord. I got to pray for me. And this is, we got to be honest with God. Don't try to go past what's going on to get to God and say, God, do this and God, do that. God, help me. I'm wicked right now. My heart is sick and desperately wicked right now. I need you to help me. I can't push past this thing that just happened. God, I need you to help me. God, here I am. Here I stand with my hands upraised. Yes, I know you know my name is Teresa, but God, I got to say it out loud to let me know that you do know that I'm your child. I got to make sure I'm still in the right relationship with you.
Amen.
You know what else? Because I just got finished acting up, Lord, and I need you to help me. Am I still in right relationship with you? Sometimes we try to go so bold into the throne of grace as if, you know, if we were back in the olden days and people would go before God and they wasn't right, they would go. They would go in, but they wouldn't come out. They had to come out. They would have to be pulled out. If you didn't hear those bells ringing, those tassels ringing on the priest when they went in to enter in, if you didn't hear those bells, they was dead. They had them dropped dead up in there, and they had to be pulled out. Let me tell you, we approach God sometimes with our stinky, funky attitudes and think that he's supposed to accept it. We come to God any kind of way and think he's supposed to accept it. The devil is a lie. We serve a holy God. Glory to God.
That's right.
He is our father. And just like we respect our natural fathers, that's how we should respect God and not just give him our butt to kiss and tell God, here, well, this is the way I'm going to do it and you're going to accept it. He should reach down his hand from heaven and smack you atop of the head and make you realize, look, I ain't your buddy, and I don't know who you think I am, but you better approach me right. And we have come to God so many ways. Minister Desiree disrespected the true and living God, just treating him all kind of wrong. And God wants us to honor him. He wants us to respect him, and he wants us to come to him as little children. Come to him humble. Come to him with respect. Because let me tell you, I'm human, and you're not going to come into my presence and disrespect me. I'm human. So how much should we treat God? Like, look, and we see people going to him, disrespect to him. No, hold up. Don't do that.
Because they have no reverence of God.
No reverence.
Don't, and you don't come to him any kind of way. You got to humble yourself before him.
Let me tell you something. We better get, like you said, that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people... If you are in the chat room, if you are on the phone line, if you are going to be listening to the archives, let me read this for you to hear this. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Did you hear all those ands in there? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sin and heal your land. That's when I will hear you. If you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Some of us still out here doing stuff. We know we doing wickedness. Ain't turned from wickedness, but still want God to hear us. Ain't turned, still hate our husbands. Won't love our husbands for nothing. They can't do nothing right. My husband told me one time, he said, girl, everything I do is wrong. Why are we together? Everything I do is wrong. That's what he said to me. I was like, I had to reevaluate that.
I've had a lot of husbands tell me, as mine told me that too, but you know what he told me? He said, you're one of those type of people that like things in order.
And he said that
you
too.
You can't change me to make me to do everything how you do it in order. I'm going to be me. So I was like, he would tell me that all the time. And I was like, Lord, it got to be some type of truth to that. I said, but now I don't want to believe it, but it must be because he keeps mentioning it. And the Lord showed me, yes, you have that set for you, but you cannot make your husband to be the type of way how you are. He is own individual.
Exactly.
And once I realized that and realized that he's not going to meet all my expectations and I'm not going to meet all his expectations.
That's right.
Then I realized, you know what, now, Lord, show me how to love him the way you love him. Don't let me love him out of my own way, because I'm going to love him out of mostly lust. I'm going to love him out of my desires and how I think love is.
Yes.
Because truly, in our own selves, we don't know how to love our spouses.
Sure don't.
We do not know how to love our spouses. We can tell them, yes, I love you, but we don't really know the love that we're supposed to have for our husband, because
nope.
We do it on how we feel. If we have a good day, we love him. We have a bad day, we don't want nothing to do with the man.
Do what? You ain't said nothing but a word.
But as long as we have God showing us how to love him, we can love our husband in spite of him giving us a bad day or we having a bad day.
That's right.
Because
that's
God's
right.
love don't work on emotions.
That's right. And God's love is not fair weather love. God's love doesn't change. His love is the same. Whether I'm good or bad, God's love is the same. God's going to love me the same way he did yesterday. He's going to love me the same way tomorrow that he did today. Because God is love. God is love. But we don't want to pray and say, God, this, you know, I want to be a woman of love. I want to be a crown to my husband's head. I want to be this and that. Let me tell you something. I still haven't got there yet to say that. I haven't said, Lord, I want to be a crown to my husband's head. I really do. Want to be a crown to my husband's head. But, you know, I still say, Lord, there's some things in him that he got to change before I say that. But, see, thank you for the broadcast, because now I'm going to change my prayer. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, there you go already. Well, I have to let him change. Why do we have to wait till to see them change? This is where we go wrong with wives.
Because I'm cuckoo.
We want to wait for them to do the changing. Then we're ready to say, oh, well, I can see myself. I can say now that I'm a crown. You know, it's funny because Sarah called her husband Abraham Lord.
Yes, she did.
And we won't do that.
We won't do it.
No, we won't do that because that's too much. What, calling him Lord? Oh, no. But she did. She didn't mean that he was Lord of Lords. She said she called him Lord.
Right.
Because she respected,
the
God that was in him.
That's right.
And she called him Lord. And and we are from Abraham's seed. Which means we need to be doing the same thing Sarah did and learn to be daughters of Sarah and call our husbands Lord.
I tried that one day, Minister Desiree. I tried
and?
It. It didn't work.
Well, it takes time.
It didn't work.
It's a process. It's just like your salvation. It's a process.
Yes, it didn't even sound right coming off my lips. I was like, that don't sound right. And my husband knew when I said it. He was like, don't say that again until you mean it. He was like, for real. He was like, because, you know, I have these facial expressions and everything. And I was like, Lord. You know, so I should have just kept that one in until I was really ready to say it. You know, and sometimes I get ready to say it and I just won't say it, but that's me. You know, because I'm like, Lord, calling him Lord. Isn't it enough that I call him honey? Isn't that a term of endearment? Because that's what I call him, honey. Anybody that knows me, that's my husband's name, honey.
Absolutely.
And my mother said to me one day, she was like, I'm getting so sick and tired of you saying honey and husband. What is your husband's name? I was like, Mom, his name is Gerald, but that's what I call him. So imagine what I say if I go to her and we're on the phone. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, my Lord. She'll probably be like, okay, she done lost it. But the word of God, that's what Sarah called her husband. She called him Lord. But we don't look at our husbands that way. We don't look at our husbands as the head of our homes. We don't look at our husbands, and especially being women who were brought up in homes where the woman was a strong force in the home, where the woman wore the pants. And I grew up in a foster home. The last foster home I was in, that woman wore the pants in the house. She abused her husband. And I was there to see that. I was there to see the way she spoke to her husband disrespectfully and just downgraded. She degraded him in front of us and in front of anybody. She didn't care how she spoke to him. And I gleaned that from her. I really took that as a part of my behavior. And until recently.
You saw it as the norm.
I saw it as the norm. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that's how I treat it. My husband, and I'm talking about my current husband. He's here right now. He hears me. I'm talking. Well, he's on the phone. But I would treat him that way. Like, I talk to him any kind of way I want to. Like, and then look at him when he says something to me. Like, who are you talking to? Like, excuse me. you know, that kind of attitude. And God is yet delivering me from those things in my past that I actually grew up with. And, you know, he's showing me because I asked God. I went through the house one day. I said, God, you know, I'm really tired of Teresa. I'm really sick of her. You know, she needs help. You know, and I asked God to really help me to deliver me from the rest of the stuff that I need to be delivered from that happened in my prior relationships, that happened in my childhood, being abused and all these kind of things that I had to go through. But God is yet doing it, Minister Desiree. He is really doing it. He is showing me the filthiness of my flesh. He is showing me, you know, that you can't come before me that way. You got to come to me out of a pure heart. And this is why he gave me the name of our ministry called Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Because anything that we do, whether it's praying, whether it's giving clothes to the homeless, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's preaching the gospel on the radio or on the, in the church house or wherever it is, we got to do this stuff out of a pure heart. Because just
That's
like
right.
it says in the Word of God, you can do all of this stuff and you can do it in the name of Jesus. But when you stand before him, he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
That's
and I do
right.
not want him to say that to me, Minister Desiree. I don't
oh,
want
I
him
know,
to
honey,
say that
to
me. I want him to
don't
say,
to
welcome in, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want
yes.
That's what I want him to say to me. I don't want him to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. That's why I check myself constantly. I check myself. Do I always make the mark? No, I don't, but I check myself. And when I realize I've done something wrong, I go to God and I repent because I know that what I did it. I hurt God. I know that I hurt my Heavenly Father. I know that he hates sin. Sin is a stench in his nostrils. And I know that I hurt him. And I have to go to him and I have to say, God, I'm sorry. And then I have to repent and not do that thing again. And God knows that I'm a work in progress. God is making me over again. I'm not ashamed to say it. I want God to keep doing it because as long as God keeps chastising me, I know I'm his child. I know that he loves me because he said he chastens those who he loves. So if
That's
you chasing me, if you chasing to me, Lord, I know you still love me. If you chasing to me, Lord, I know that I'm still going to be able to stand before you. If you're pruning me and purging me, God, I know that you can still use me. Hallelujah. And
yes.
that you have not cast me into the fire to be burned. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we need to look at it like that. That God, yes, purge me, God. It don't feel good, but purge me. Wash me, like David said, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop. Do that. And we need to go before God, women, we need to go before God. Those of us that have been disrespectful to our husbands, those of us that have been disrespectful to male leadership in the church, those of us that have tried to usurp authority over our husband or over our leadership in church, we need to repent. We need to repent wherever we are right now. Say, God, I am sorry. I have been acting like this. I prayed witchcraft prayers. I've been praying all kind of things, God, but I ask you to forgive me right now. And God, there's some things in me right now that I need you to heal me of, and I haven't spoken to anybody about it, but God, I need you to heal me. I need you to heal me right now. Don't you know, Desiree, that God will heal us right now? That we don't have
yes,
to wait
will.
To go to church. We don't have to wait to go to Bible study. That God will heal us right now, right here on this broadcast, if we need healing. He will heal us right now because he hears our cries. But we got to make sure that we're honest with God. We got to make sure that we want to be healed. We got to make sure that we want God to do this thing. And I'm telling you, God will do it. God will do it. He is not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. And I'm trying to tell you, I know God is awesome, and I praise him. I praise him. I praise him. I praise him because he is a healer right now. If you're in the chat room, if you're on the phone line, if you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for deliverance, if you need prayer just to pray right, if you need prayer so you can just pray right and stop praying these witchcraft prayers and stop praying amiss and stop demanding God do X, Y, Z and you're not even doing what you're supposed to do, get on the phone line, and Desiree and I, we will pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Jump in while the pool is stirring because the pool is stirring. God wants us to be healed. He does not want us
yes,
to be walking around broken and bent up in the spirit. And so many of us women are broken and bent down because of the things that we have gone through. We don't even know where to begin to pray. I'm telling you, I'm a woman that's been broken from my birth. I'm a woman that's been broken from the before I even came out of my mother's womb. My mother tried to abort me while I was still in her womb with a hanger, not going to an abortion doctor with a hanger. My mother tried to abort me, glory to God, but it wasn't the plan of God, and I'm here right now. But I carried that with me because I heard her say that, so I carried that with me, and I was a wounded woman. I was raped. I was molested. Things went on in my life, glory to God, not only being beat up in foster homes and being beat up by a lesbian because I wouldn't be a lesbian. I've been through some things, but I'm here to tell you right now that God is a deliverer. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he is my healer.
Thank
he is a restorer of broken things, glory to God. He will deliver you if you want to be delivered. Glory to God. If you would just cry out to him right now and say, God, I have sinned. God, I have not trusted you. God, I tried to do it my way. But God, I see all of those things fail. I turn to alcohol. I turn to drugs. I turn to sex. I turned to everything else I could turn to, and it didn't work. Now, God, I'm turning to you, and I'm asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will heal me, that you will set me free first from myself, God, that you will set me free from the emotional binds in my mind, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, I forgive every person that came against me, every person that came to hurt me in my life. God, I forgive them right now in the name of Jesus. And watch and see if God don't start doing it for you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Lord Jesus, amen. Today. Lord, today. Oof, that one took me somewhere else. That took me somewhere else because I
That's
know
right.
it's people that are hurting. I know that it's women
oh,
that
yes.
have been abused and hurting and going on into another relationship, and they're hurting the next person they're in a relationship with. They're having children, and they're hurting their children because of what they went through in their relationship
mm-hmm.
when they were children. They were beaten. They were abused, so they're hurting their children now. Maybe they were in a relationship with a man prior to the relationship they're in now, and that man did them wrong. Now they're treating their current husband wrong or their current relationship wrong because they haven't been healed. And I'm calling forth your healing in the name of Jesus, whoever you are. I'm calling forth your healing in the name of Jesus, and I call you free today in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Yes.
Because it's not your will that it's not God's will that you perish. It's not God's will that you continue in this broken spirit that you're in this state of
mm-hmm.
brokenness that you are in. You don't have to leave this broadcast today and still be broken in the name of Jesus. Forgive who you have to forgive. Let it go in the name
yes,
of Jesus
yes.
because it is not worth it. You're holding up your blessing. You're holding up your deliverance. Let it go in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say the words that is written in the Bible that T.D. Jakes made so very popular, but woman, thou art loose. You are loose from your infirmity in the name of Jesus. If you want to be loose, if you want to be loose, you can be loose today in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we know that it's not God that has you bound. We know that it is
That's
Satan
right.
that has you bound. But we rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus, because Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. So today we stand on that power in the name of Jesus. We stand united, hallelujah, in prayer today
yeah.
in the name of Jesus for your healing, for your deliverance, hallelujah, that you will be set free from the spirits in your mind that are binding you, that are keeping you bound, that are keeping you distracted, that are keeping you going this way 1 minute and that way the next minute. 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down, 1 minute you're confused, 1 minute you're not confused. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because that is not of God. That is not of God, woman. That is not of God. Do you hear it? Do you hear it in his spirit? Do you hear it in his spirit? It is not of God, and he wants you healed today. He wants you whole today in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And women, don't you know that if you are married, whatever it is that your husband is going through, don't you know that if you pray for your husband, you're praying for yourself, because you or your
That's
husband
right.
are one? If you pray in witchcraft prayers about your husband, you pray in witchcraft prayers about yourself, because you and your husband are one. If you're praying for your husband's demise, you're praying for your own demise, because you and your husband are one. Hallelujah, glory to God. So come together and pray with your husband. And if you can't come together and pray with your husband, pray for him secretly and watch God do it. Watch him do it.
Yes,
watch
yes.
him do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The longer you delay in praying for your husband, the longer you're going to get your breakthrough. The longer you sit there and hold anger and resentment and bitterness and hate against your husband, the longer you're going to have to go through whatever it is you're going through. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to me, but hear this in the spirit. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, you need to be set free today. Glory to God. You need to be delivered today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But it's not by power. It's not by works. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. And God wants to set somebody free today. Glory to God. I know I'm jumping in the pool while the pool is stirring. Hallelujah. Because I have some things that I yet need to be delivered of. And I'm jumping in the pool right now. Glory to God, while it is stirring, so I can get mine. Glory to God. And I would advise you to get yours too, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have about 15 minutes left in. So two people just called in on the phone line. If you want prayer right now, press 1. If you want prayer right now, press 1. If you want deliverance right now, press 1. We will pray for you right now. If you got a situation that you need prayer for, press 1, and we will pray for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you have something that you need to say, press 1 and I will get you on the line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But hallelujah, this broadcast has blessed me today. Pray in the spirit. Glory to God. Use your heavenly language to pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because God can answer things that we don't even know. We don't even know what to pray for sometimes. Our husbands have broken us. Some of us have, our husbands have just broken us. And we just don't even know what to pray because we're so mad at them. We don't know what to pray because they done beat us down so far. We don't even know what to pray. But if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, pray in the Holy Ghost and watch him, hallelujah. Watch God do it, hallelujah. Watch him do it, hallelujah. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. And the same God that did it for me, glory to God, he will do it for you. Begin to pray for your husband in the spirit. Begin to pray for your children in the spirit. Begin to pray for your pastor in the spirit. Begin to pray for your friends in the spirit. Begin to pray in the spirit, glory to God. And watch God do some things for you, hallelujah. But make sure your heart is right. You can't even pray right in the spirit if your heart is not right. Ask God to forgive you right now. Ask God to forgive you. Pray, woman. Ask him to forgive you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and he will do it. Watch he do it. Glory to God. Area code 252, glory to God. You are on the line. Welcome to Power Brunch with Jesus and the Word.
Hello. Teresa. This is Nay. Hello.
Hi, Nay. Hi, Nay.
God bless you all. I was calling in today. I invited my friend online, and she's online. I just want to know if you could pray for, you guys could pray for her.
Yes. Is she on, did she call in? Is she on the phone line? Or is she in the chat room? Is she, is her area code 919?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Area code 919. I'm going to get her on the line right now. And we have Minister Desiree on the line, a mighty woman of God. Hello, area code 919.
Hello.
Hi, this is Evangelist Scott. Welcome to Power Brunch with Jesus and the Word.
Thank you.
Are you Nay's friend?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Nay, thank you so much for inviting your friend to come in. I don't know how much of the broadcast you all were able to listen to, but we're at the point in the broadcast right now where we just want people to be, you know, delivered, and God is going to do it, whatever it is. So I don't know if you want the listening audience to hear what your prayer request is, but if you don't mind, can you tell us what it is so we can just go into prayer?
I would like to pray about a marriage.
Okay, you are currently married?
Yes.
Okay, are y'all separated or talking about divorce or?
Separated right now.
Okay, so you don't live in the same household?
No, we don't.
Okay, now what is it that you want for your marriage?
Healing.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If God gives you an instruction, will you listen to it?
I will.
All right, I'm just saying that. Minister Desiree, you still on the line?
Yes, I am, and I hear the Lord speaking to me, restoration for that, restoration. God is going to bring that marriage back. I hear him telling me that it is restoration, and he is going to bring your marriage back. But in the meantime, you must continually to seek God wholeheartedly with your faith. Every day you are to seek God. Every day you are to pray about your husband. Every day you are to lift him up. Every day. Don't make this prayer about just you. You must pray about your husband every day. Father God, I praise you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I just thank you for your word that came across so clearly, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for the restoration, what you're going to do doing this marriage, Lord God. The enemy is trying to get a hold of it, but my God, we serve a God that will break the forces of the devil and schemes at all times. So, Lord God, we lift this marriage up to you, Lord God, and we thank you for the restoration that is coming back. We thank you that you restore the marriage, Lord God. We thank you that when you bring them back together, Lord God, it will be as though they never even separated in the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Young lady,
hallelujah,
you have
hallelujah.
Always have to speak well of your husband.
Yeah,
you must speak well of your husband at all times. Don't put down what he's not doing. You must speak well of him at all times. At all times, speak well of your husband. Oh, yes, continue to speak well of your husband in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I feel the presence of God on her so strong.
Lord.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, raise your hand right now and praise God. Wherever you are, if you're in your office, in your home, where you are, I need you to stand to your feet and praise God and
hallelujah.
Shout with a triumph voice. Give God the victory.
Hallelujah.
It's already yours. Oh, glory
hallelujah.
To God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Lord God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Ooh, my soul says yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, my soul says yes, yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Ooh, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, I want to hear that praise report.
Yes, hallelujah.
Ooh, we want to hear that praise report.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Jesus, glory, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, yes. Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I do hear the Spirit of God saying, repent. Hallelujah. Just repent. Hallelujah. I don't know what was going on, but just repent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Just repent. Hallelujah. God's going to work it out, honey. Just hold on to him and pray. Pray for your husband out of a pure heart. Pray for him out of a pure heart. Hallelujah. And if you have are you filled with the Holy Ghost?
I am.
Yes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost to just pray through you, because the Bible says that he helps our infirmities, because we pray not, we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to. So just pray in the Holy Ghost and allow the Holy Ghost to do it. Don't do like I did, walk around the house praying all loud, trying to make him feel bad, trying to make him feel bad with those kind of prayers, because that's what I did, and it didn't work. It wasn't until I went into my prayer closet and was honest with God and allowed him to do what he did in my husband. I don't even think it was so smooth. It was a seamless transition. I don't even think my husband knew what happened, but it happened. And I thank God for that. But it's because I had to go to God in truth and not pray those foolish prayers that I was praying, but go to God in truth, and he'll do the same thing for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Nate, so much for having her call in. I thank you so much. And before we end this broadcast, I want to offer Jesus Christ to those who may be listening who are not born again, maybe those that have backslidden. Maybe you have never heard of Jesus, which in this day and time, I don't see how you would not have heard of him. But I'm going to offer Jesus today, that those are in the chat room, in the archives, on the phone lines, on Skype. If you need Jesus in your life, and we all need Jesus in our lives, I just want to offer Jesus to you. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. And I know that was a song and people use it as a cliche, but I can tell you from the time of my understanding, Jesus has been the best thing that has ever happened to me. Even having babies and being married and, you know, doing this, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Why? When I think of how he was wounded for my transgressions and how he was bruised for my iniquities. When I think of how the chastisement of my peace was upon him and that I'm healed by his stripes, honey, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Glory to God. And when I got saved on Easter Sunday in 1988, glory to God, when I came to know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Glory to God. I didn't appreciate it much back then like I do now, but I can tell you now, at the age of 47 years old, that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Won't you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Jesus said in the book of St. John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." In verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." But even before that, I believe it's in verse 4, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Flesh and blood is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but you must be born again. Hallelujah. Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, your mind must be transformed. Your mind must be renewed. Hallelujah. With the Word of God. You got to be renewed. Hallelujah. Because our minds has been so filled with what we've been doing for all of these years. Glory to God. That we have to be born again. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that is only with the Word of God. We must begin to pray and we must begin to fast. We must get in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church. Not just because they preach and teach it, but because they live it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then get baptized. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus got baptized. People ask me, is it necessary to get baptized? Jesus said, "Everything that you've seen of me and heard of me, do it." So we see the Word of God said Jesus was baptized. So get somewhere and get baptized. Hallelujah. It's an outward symbol of an inward decision to be born again. Right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't discount baptism, but go on and get baptized. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. So if you need, if you even backslid and you want to come back to Jesus, you can say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I come to you asking you to forgive me for my sins. I turned away from you, God. I went back out there in the world because I thought the world had something to offer me, Lord God. I fornicated, Lord. I committed adultery, Lord. I lied. I stole. I went back out there and I was drinking, Lord God. I started using drugs again, God. I ask you to forgive me in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Father, I know that you hear me and I'm asking you to forgive me. And God, I repent. I turn away from this. I'm not going to do this again. No more drinking. No more drugs. No more sex outside of my marriage, Lord God. None of that, Lord. I just release it unto you right now in the name of Jesus. And I accept Jesus Christ back into my life as my Lord and Savior right now. Right now. Right now. Right now.
Yes.
Right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. If you did that, honey, I invite you back into the kingdom of God. And if you did that for the first time and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you and welcome you into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. But I beg you to get a Bible. I beg you to get a Bible. If you can't understand the King James Version, get a version of the Bible that you can understand. Get with somebody and ask them to help you understand the Word of God. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will help you. It will help you to renew your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because no matter what people say, it takes all of that. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then some. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to seek God. And, honey, area code 919, when you begin to pray, it'll look like all hell's breaking loose because you're praying. Keep praying, girl. Don't
That's
stop
right.
praying. Praying, don't allow the distractions of the enemy to come in and tell you that it's not working, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to give up, but you pray even the more. You pray even the more, and you fast. You turn down that plate, and you fast, and watch God work it out for you. I'm a witness.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it for me. Hallelujah. He's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for me and he did it for Desiree and he did it for these other millions and hundreds of women, he will do it for you. But you got to trust God and you got to hang in there, because we're not fighting a natural fight, honey. It might look like your husband is doing this or it might look like you're doing that, but this is a spiritual battle, boo-boo, and you got to fight this in the spirit. You got to fight this because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness high places. That's why he said, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And when you've done all to stand, stand, therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and having on the helmet of salvation and having on the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. You got to have that whole armor on, honey. Go and read it in Ephesians chapter 6. Go read. And we have 10 seconds left, but glory to God. I thank everybody that showed up today in the chat room, on the phone line. Nay, your friend, hallelujah. Minister Desiree, my iron, Lisa Shaw Evans. And I just got ready to call you Evangelist Lisa Shaw Evans. And that's what I'm going to call you, Evangelist Lisa Shaw Evans. Glory to God. And Minister Desiree, I love you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. If the Lord say so, we'll
love
be back
too,
tomorrow,
dear.
Same time, same place. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put it on the altar, y'all. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. Hallelujah. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh. You had enough, but it's been hard for everyone. You're not alone. You've been hurting way too long. Let it go and just move on. Make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. You need him to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah. All of your burdens, bring them all down, yeah. You're gonna get an answer to your prayer if you. I know you need healing. Yeah. You're sick of being sick. You need relief. You're tired of the pressure. Yeah. You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough. Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over, leave it there. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. So everything that you've been worried about, you need him to work it out. He'll work it out. All about it, and he's gonna do what he promised you.
today, y'all. God bless you. Love you much.